There's a saying, an idiom, wise words from generations ago. You can't unring the bell. It has other versions too. You can't turn back the clock. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube. You can't unscramble an egg. They all have the same basic meaning. Once something has occurred, it can't be undone. You can't unhear it, unsee it, unknow it. I've got one of those that I'm going to share. Here, let me ring this bell for you.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Episode 15, You Can't Unring the Bell, RC versus the Wilhelm Scream.
Welcome to Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy and the first episode of a new mini-series we call You Can't Unring the Bell. This new series is all about that time, that moment when we heard something or saw something or learned something that totally changed the way we viewed that, whatever it was, from that day onward. Maybe you're glad your eyes were open. Maybe you wish you never did and now it's ruined for you. Either way, you can't unring the bell. I figured I would get this series started with a personal experience. First of all, let me preface this episode by saying that I love sounds. I love sound design. And I love Foley and the talented artists that bring much of our entertainment content to life. From TV and movies to video games and pretty much anything that has sound, they are some of the unsung heroes who enhance our content, which many times we would only notice if their work wasn't there. In many cases, the sounds need to be and are recorded later and added later in the process. Other than the spoken dialogue, many times the sound you hear from vehicles, background crowds, footsteps, they're all mixed in later. Hey, I get it. I love it. Especially when you can't tell. That being said, there are a few stock sounds that have been used over the years that drive me nuts. I hate them. Stock sounds that to my ears do not sound authentic. Maybe some of those can be the subject of a future episode of You Can't Unring the Bell. But for this episode, let's focus on the Wilhelm Scream. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. The Wilhelm Scream. Most of you have probably never heard that name before. Maybe you've never heard the sound before. Actually, I'm almost 100% sure that you've heard it. You just didn't notice it. And you continued on watching whatever program you were watching without a second thought. Well, allow me to ruin it for you. I mean, enlighten you on it. What is it? All right, in short, it's an old stock sound effect performed by a real actor in the 1950s. It's actually six or so screams, all recorded in one take, like this take. Ah! Or this one. Ah! Or this one.
The first one you did out there was much better.
Oh! Not an owl, a real scream.
And that next take, take four, would be history-making. Who would have thunk that? Anyway, it was originally recorded for the 1951 movie Distant Drums. Now, in this scene, soldiers are wading through a swamp, and a soldier is bitten by an alligator and dragged underwater. But here's where it got its name. It was later used in a 1953 movie called The Charge at Feather River, a Western. Now in this scene, there's an Indian hiding in the bushes, and the character called Private Wilhelm...
Wilhelm!
Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe!
...gets shot in the leg with an arrow. It was then used in films throughout the 50s and 60s, including a 1954 movie that I actually saw as a kid called Them. Now, this movie's about the earliest atomic tests that happened in New Mexico. They cause common ants to mutate into giant man-eating monsters that threaten civilization.
Even civilization itself threatened with annihilation because in one moment of history-making violence, nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. For born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous. There is no word to describe them.
I remember my best friend's parents rented the Betamax version in the 1980s and made us watch it as kids. And I hated to admit it, but it was pretty good. I liked it. I hated to admit that to them, but you know how that goes. But anyway, in one scene, an army man is trying to call for help, like, I don't know, Morse code or whatever he was doing, and a giant ant crashes through the window and grabs him. Yeah, I didn't notice it then. Let me skip ahead before I go back. It was somewhere in the mid-2000s that I heard somewhere, or I was watching something. I can't even remember what it was now. But it was these dudes, and they were referencing, they were talking about this Scream and how it was a joke or something in Hollywood. And filmmakers always put it in their projects as kind of a wink or an inside joke or maybe an homage or something like that. So I was like, what's that? Well, I've never heard of this silly sound effect that's supposedly in everything. Let me look that up. Big mistake. I rang the bell. All right, so let's go back. How did this sound become so annoying? I mean, so widely used? According to historian Steve Lee of HollywoodLostAndFound.net, in 1976, sound designer Benjamin Burt was hired to create sound effects for Star Wars. He had an opportunity to do research at the sound departments of several movie studios. While he was at Warner Brothers, he found the original Scream, which was slated...
A man getting bit by an alligator and he screams.
Ben would later call it Wilhelm, after the character that let out that scream that we talked about earlier in the movie Charge at Feather River. He started using the sound as sort of his own personal sound signature, using it in the films that he worked on, like Indiana Jones and the Star Wars movies. Now, I think all of us can appreciate this dude's amazing, absolutely amazing sound design work, like this. This. And this. And even this. But using the scream... Well, I mean, it's not his fault that it became heavily utilized the way it's been, I guess. So in Star Wars, one place that it's used is in the scene where Luke and Leia are trapped on a short ledge, trying to figure out how to escape this situation.
Quick, we've got to get across. Find the controls that extend the bridge.
Oh, I think I just blasted it.
They're coming through!
When stormtroopers appear on the opposite ledge, up above them, and begin firing at them. And so there's an intense battle, and Luke hits one, he falls, and... Well, in another of his films, Return of the Jedi, in the classic scene in the desert on Tatooine on Jabba the Hutt's barge, when the heroes are making their move to escape capture, Luke is backed onto the edge and he's swinging his lightsaber. He hits one of the enemies and... Yeah. As a matter of fact, other takes of the Wilhelm scream were used in this sequence, but they aren't as recognizable. Well, at least to me. Well, at least... before constructing this podcast episode. Anyway, he also did sound design work on the Indiana Jones series. In 1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones is being chased and jumps in the front seat of a cargo truck. He's fighting with the driver, who slams on the brakes. The momentum causes all the men in the back of the truck to fall forward, and then they get rear-ended by the pursuing vehicle. Now, Indy promptly slams his foot on the gas pedal, and the quick change of motion causes everyone to fall backwards, and one bad guy falls out the back onto the pursuing car. So, apparently, he put it in every film he worked on. I get it. I'm not mad at that. In fact, I love that idea. That is something I would totally do. But I guess the problem is once everyone started doing that crap, it's just ridiculous now. Like I said, prior to the mid-2000s, when I made the mistake of searching for some Hollywood joke called the Wilhelm Scream to see what they were talking about, I obviously had heard it before, but I didn't hear it. I didn't notice it. But after that, I started to notice it. And now it drives me nuts. Banana sandwich. Like, all right, I'm watching one of my favorite all-time favorite comic book movies, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I'm enjoying the first time we get to see the Batmobile. And, you know, the Batmobile revs up, hits a car full of goons, the car goes flying, and... Just a couple of weeks ago, I'm watching a TV show called The Blacklist, Season 6, Episode 9. FBI team swarms in to make an arrest on the bad guy. The bad guy runs out the window onto the fire escape, trying to get away. He's looking at the other fire escape on the other side, and he's thinking, yeah, I can make that. And of course, the FBI agent's like,
you won't make it.
But of course, he's like, don't tell me what to do, negative Nancy. I got this. Hangs on for a second, but then guess what? I know, FBI agent, I wasn't expecting to hear that either. Then we're sitting there checking out the latest Fast and Furious movie, Fast 9, big car chase scene. Yeah, no surprise, I was expecting that. I was counting on that. I was ready for it. A car crashes, and guess what I wasn't ready for? And I'm sitting minding my own business, trying to watch some YouTube, and I'm annoyed because there's a commercial that comes up. I can't skip it. It's for Twix, but I'm like, okay, you know what? It's candy. Who doesn't love candy? Let me just enjoy this candy commercial for a second since I can't skip it anyway. Just so, you know, you look at it, and this guy in the commercial gets sucked up a tube. There's two factories, and it gets blown from the left side to the right side.
Chocolate. Never wondered?
And what do I hear?
Try both. Pick a side. Twix.
Nah, I ain't picking the left or the right side of the Twix.
Oh, man. Would I have ever recognized the pattern of this real fake scream heard everywhere? Maybe. I'd like to think myself smart enough or observant enough to have figured it out. Eventually. But either way, I really hate that I know about it. I really wish I could, but unfortunately, you can't unring the bell. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this first episode in our new mini-series. And if you have something that you heard or saw or learned that completely changed your view on it, that you either wish you never learned, like me, or maybe you're glad you know, well, we'd love to hear about it and maybe even have you as a guest on the podcast. Just email us or reach out on any of our social media. So what do you think? Did I ring the bell for you? Did I ruin it for you? Or are you like, yeah, I already knew that, dude, you're late. Yeah, I know, I'm always late. Well, I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Facebook, Vero, Patreon, and IG. And our website is sonicembassy.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it because that's the only way we can grow in this never-ending sea of podcast. But if you hated it, like I hate what shall no longer be mentioned.
Doggone it.
tell everyone you know about this podcast that you hate. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more soon. We've got other mini-series that you'll probably enjoy, so take a scroll through our recent episodes. Later.
Embassy.
Sonic Embassy.